Fantastic. Good morning. Am I on, Nick? Yes, I am. Brilliant. As we sit here together, shall we just pray together? Father, thank you that you are here with us. Thank you already. And just pray that as we look at this word together now, that by your Spirit you may speak into our hearts, that we may see more of you. Speak to us, Lord, by your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to start with a question. How many of us ever get angry? Oh, a few hands on this side. See, this side's doing quite better than that side. They shot up over here to start with. Just turn to the person beside you and just say one thing that makes you angry. Just one thing. Go. What was it, your one thing? Fantastic, let's come back together. Oh. Just said one thing, the whole essay. I asked the parents to shut their eyes now. How many young people here have ever got angry with their parents? Few I can see around. Okay, hands down. See, in our reading from John's Gospel today, that reading that James just read brilliantly for us, we read how Jesus got angry. And in that film that we saw right at the very beginning of the service, that clip that showed that events happening, we watched and we saw what Jesus did, don't we? He went into the temple, he saw what was happening, and he turned over the tables. We saw the mess that he made as he pushed those things aside. So this morning I want to think, well, what on earth was going on? What was it that made Jesus so angry? I think there's only a few times in the Gospels where Jesus gets angry. It's not a characteristic that we often think of when we think of Jesus. But see, Jesus was going towards, well, where was he going? Where was he heading? Jerusalem. Fantastic, we're on it over here. Jerusalem, because he was going to Jerusalem because it was time for the Passover. That was a big festival that the Jews often celebrated. And it was a key reminder for the Jewish people of their history, what had happened to them before. And there's not really enough time today to look at that in detail, but it's for John, it's really key to put in his gospel that it's the Passover, this is about to happen. It's a signpost to the fact that it's a key time when Jesus carries out this act. What Jesus does at Passover here is a key thing. But what does Jesus find when he goes into the temple? Well, we heard lots of those 14 things earlier, all those things to remember. I don't think I can remember all of them. But what did he find? He found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves. Others exchanging money. And this is what makes him angry. You see, Jesus doesn't like what he sees. So what does he do? He makes a whip. He scatters the coins. He turns over the tables. And he tells them why he's doing it. And the Jews are shocked at what he's doing. So, but why does he get angry with what he sees? What is his anger all about? Well, we've spoken before, haven't we, about how the temple was a really important building for the Jewish people. Many important buildings all rolled into one. Some of you might recognize some of those important buildings up there. Is anyone recognizing those buildings up there? What have we got up there? What can you see? Big Ben. Big Ben and the Palaces of Parliament. What else can you see? Buckingham Palace. Anyone know what the top one is in the top corner? Bank of England. That's right. And see, the temple was all those sorts of places rolled into one. It was about a political place, it's a social place, it was an economic place. But above all, it was a place of worship, a space where people could come and worship God. See, in Jerusalem, the temple was a focal point, reminding them that God was with them. And Jesus sees that in all that he sees there in the temple, amongst those sheep and the cattle and the doves and the money, what's going on doesn't honour God. Doesn't show God respect. And Jesus is angry and upset because what he sees doesn't show God's glory or doesn't show him any respect. And that's what makes Jesus angry. So I want to think a little bit this morning about some of those reasons, why two ways in which Jesus sees them not showing respect to God. The first of which is the quality of their worship. And I need some help to try and help me illustrate a little bit about this. So I need three young people that perhaps might come and do something. Perhaps if you haven't done something already this morning, that'd be great. But if not, Does anyone want to come and help me with something out? Yeah? No? Ruby, you come and do one? You come and read one? Come and read one. Come and stand over here with Steph over here. Someone in the middle there, do you want to come and do something for me? No? Oh, you want to come and have a go with? You can come and do over here. That's two. You're going to come and help out too. That'd be fantastic. Come on here. Help Steph out. Right, so if you go to Steph, okay, just while I get my other volunteer, volunteer. Tim, can you come and join me? Come and sit on here for me, please. This is brilliant.
Is this one?
Yeah, just that would be fantastic. Okay, I'm going to give you a really, really nice and simple, straightforward task. In a minute, when I say go, you're going to start counting from 60 back to 1. Can you do that?
Yes.
Nice, simple task, okay? Yeah. Why? Well, you can do it as steady, as quickly as you want, okay? Meanwhile, while you do that, these lovely young people over here are going to ask you a series of questions.
Right.
Okay?
Am I going to answer them?
And you've got to answer their questions, so then you can carry on counting again.
Okay?
So they're going to ask you to answer the question and then carry on. Okay. Are you ready with your people over there? Right, let's see. Let him give a little bit of a start to start with, okay? From 60 back to 1.
60.
Go.
59, 58. 57, 56,
what is your
55,
favorite food?
54,
what's your favorite
53,
food?
Steak and chips, 52, right, 51, 50, 49, 48, 47, 46,
what did you have for dinner last night?
43, I had pastry and meat in it with cauliflower and... 53, 43, 42, 41, 40.
What colour are your socks?
What colour are my socks now? Are purple, same as my jumper. 40, 39, 38, 37, 36, 35, 34, 33.
3 o'clock last Tuesday.
Where were you 3 o'clock last Tuesday?
I was in the parade, doing something in the parade. 31, 30, 29, 28, 27, 26, 35.
What's the name of your first teacher at school?
Mr. Colgan, 40, 24, 23, 22, 21, 20, 19...
What
did you last watch on TV?
Oh, a film called Little Chaos. 19, 18, 17, 16.
Okay, you can 50, stop there.
14, 13,
okay.
12, 11, 10.
Fantastic, well done. Can we give them all a round of applause? Can we go around and give them one each? Yeah, perfect offers. Tim. How annoying is it when people distract you like that?
That's very annoying.
It's very annoying when people distract you. I mean, I'm going to say here, probably no parents ever know what that's like to try and carry on with an ordinary task. And as much as you're trying to carry on with it, there's a child going, oh, mummy, I want to know about this. I want to know about this. That whole idea of being distracted. See, Jesus looked at the temple and he was angry because what was going on distracted those who were coming to worship. They couldn't have that quality of worship with God because all those distractions were there. See, how could they focus on God, give God quality worship with all those sheep and cattle and doves making the noise? Imagine trying to be still before God and then someone shouting out about the money. And the items around would not point you to God either. See, there'd be all those material things that you could see, not even thinking about the smell that there might also be as you walk through either. See, in trying to clear the temple, Jesus was trying to bring the building back to its intended purpose. There for people to worship God, creating a space for them to worship God. So that's the first way that I think Jesus saw them not honouring God, in their quality of worship. But secondly, in their bad behaviour. Has anyone here ever done something that's bad and been told off? Oh, some honest people this morning. Really honest people. I wonder what happens, though, if you were to do something bad and you were not to get told off. What's likely to happen? You get away with it, I heard. Yeah, what else is over here? You do it again, wouldn't you? You carry on doing it, and you carry on doing it. It's likely, isn't it, if we don't get that behaviour wasn't stopped, it's likely for it to carry on. And see, the temple courts were a holy space. Jesus got angry with the people because the way they were behaving with that holy space was bad. It wasn't honouring or respecting God. And the animals used to be sold in the temple courts for sacrifices. There were always times where animals did used to be sold in those courts because they'd use those animals then to go be used in worship. But see, over time, what had happened, the chief priests had made it a more commercial place, more like a shopping market. And that's what Jesus led him to say, "Stop turning my Father's house into a market." The temple, which was a holy place, had become more of a marketplace. It had taken it away from simply being a place to worship God. See, Jews didn't see anything wrong in what they were doing either, because when Jesus questions what's going on, "Why are you doing this? What's happening?" they challenge his authority to speak all about it. So Jesus wasn't happy in the way the people in the temple were not honouring or showing respect to God, firstly through their quality of worship, and secondly through their bad behaviour. But when after Jesus does that and challenges them, he turns the tables. We see he has this conversation about the temple. Jesus says, "If you destroy this temple, I will rebuild it in
3 days.
3 days. Excellent, we're on it this morning. Just look at that picture of the temple there. Can you imagine knocking it down and rebuilding it in 3 days?
No.
What did the Jews say? "Do you know, Jesus," they said, "this building has taken us how long to build?
46 years.
46 years. How on earth are you going to rebuild it? It's taken us 46 years. How on earth are you going to rebuild it?" But Jesus wasn't talking about the temple, because it turned a little bit afterwards. Actually, he wasn't talking about that temple. What was Jesus talking about? His body himself, that's right. He's talking about his body. Because Jesus is going to die upon the cross. And then he will come back to life in 3 days. That's the 3 days that he's talking about. See, Jesus, who's been angry with the quality of worship and the behaviour that he's seen in the temple, is starting to talk about a new way of worship. Remember how I said, right, it was really key for John, how he recalls this happens at the Passover time. See, every Passover, a lamb would be sacrificed in the temple to remember and to remind the Jewish people how God would set his people free. And Jesus goes into the temple around this time and says, there'll be a new way of worshipping God. And that will come about not by the temple being destroyed, but by the fact that Jesus dies upon the cross. God's people will be set free by Jesus' death. Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection is going to be the ultimate sacrifice for all. And worship will no longer focus upon that temple in Jerusalem. So Jesus looks towards a new way of worship. See, Jesus getting angry and that new way of worship, what does it say to us? Well, I wonder this morning, how do we make God angry? So we saw how Jesus was not happy with the behaviour of those in the temple. Sometimes does the way that we behave, our behaviour, upset God? Do we act in ways which upset him? And we also saw how the quality of worship upset God too. Those distractions that got in the way of people worshipping God, not showing God the respect that he's due. Are there things that get in the way of us worshipping God? See, Lent is a time when we reflect upon those things that get in the way of us worshipping God, to help us make changes, to turn the tables, to deepen our relationship. But before we beat ourselves up and think, well, actually, we're always getting this wrong, let's remember that new way of worshipping that Jesus was talking about. God loved us so much that Jesus died on that cross for all the times that we get things wrong. And each time we come to church, there's an opportunity there to say sorry, to confess those things to God, those things which upset him. And then because Jesus has died and God loves us, we get a chance to make a change and try to live differently. I wonder, kids again, that I talked to right at the very beginning, when you often do things and you make your parents angry, what's the best thing to say? sorry, isn't it? And when you say sorry, what do your parents generally do? Forgive you. They forgive you. They give you a hug. They forgive you. You start over again. What we're going to do in a minute is we're going to sing another song. It's a song that says about purifying our heart, putting things right with God. But then after our next song, we're going to have a time of confession, a time where we say sorry to God for the things that we do that upset him. And then I shall say a prayer. And in that prayer, we remember that because Jesus has died and come back to life again, we can have forgiveness and a new start in our relationship with him. So let's join together. Let's stand. We're going to sing together. And then we'll respond to that in that prayer of confession.